This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Do you think that I might forget all my love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And welcome to the Spirit Lounge on this lovely balmy Monday evening. And thank you to Roundup, a great session yet again. And let's say hi to, and I think we should introduce ourselves to everyone who might be in the car driving back from the Chill Out Fest in Daylesford, having had a mega weekend. So if you don't usually tune at this time on a Monday night, hi, because you're talking to Bertie the Pom and
Joy the Priest
and Andrew the Poof.
And we're fondly known as the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof, and we do 9 till 10 every Monday night on the Spirit Lounge. And then we have a little bit in a while called the Spirit Spa, which is when we rip all our clothes off and jump into the spa.
It's a bit cold tonight, I think. I hope the water's warm.
But the Spirit Lounge is all about exploring spirituality, its connection with our sexuality, and a pretty broad subject, and we try and pick on different things every week. And this evening, we're talking about the healing power of music, which is fairly appropriate as we're on the radio.
Yes.
And we have a wonderful lady joining us who is a music therapist who we will introduce shortly and have a chat with live on the phone. And we're also having a look, this is my bit, the spa, because I like to take my clothes off. We're also looking, with all this natural disasters going on and watching the TV again tonight about poor old Japan and earthquakes, tsunamis and all this kind of stuff. And we've touched on this a lot and the impact it's having on the environment and actually, are we to blame? So I'm going to be talking about this Armageddon date next year, which is the solstice, 21st of December 2012, which is apparently when the world is meant to end. But I've got very good news for you all. It's not going to end.
Oh, gosh, I was going to ask you how it's going to end, whether it was an earthquake or a cyclone or a volcano or all of the above.
Well, we could just, you know, clash into another planet. We could be invaded by aliens. I don't know.
That sounds more exciting, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, really. Yeah, it does. But more Hollywood, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, if you're listening to us tonight and you would like to participate in any of the discussions or you have an opinion on what we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. We are on air at joy.org.au. You can SMS us on 0427 569949. And I've probably missed something out. Oh, the telephone, 1-300-JOY-949. So, Joy, you're going to introduce our first track.
Yes. Our music tonight is music that we have found at some point in our life healing.
Mm.
So my first track tonight is by a very strange-sounding group called Jars of Clay. But I love this song, and it's called Oh Lord, You're Beautiful. You're on Spirit Lounge with Joy, Bertie and Andrew. And tonight we're talking about music and the healing power of music, and we've introducing some of the tracks of music that for us have been quite healing. So that was my first one with Oh Lord, You're Beautiful. Our guest tonight on the couch is an amazing woman. She's the head of music therapy at the University of Melbourne, a position which she's held for 28 years, and she's also director of the National Music Therapy Research Unit. She's also currently involved in two research projects, both investigating the effect of music therapy on the lives of people with severe and enduring mental illness. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, Professor Denise Rokey.
Thank you very much, Joy.
You're certainly a busy woman.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. How did you first get involved in music therapy, Denise?
Oh, goodness me. A long time ago, I was a student at the University of Melbourne studying music, and I expected that I would end up being a piano teacher, and one day when I was a third year student, I came across the Journal of Music Therapy in the library, and I read about how one can use music with particularly children who have hearing impairments, and how through the vibrations that can be felt through music instruments such as guitars and the piano, etc., that in fact you could use music to help children with severe hearing impairments learn. And I was just fascinated with that. There were no courses in Australia at the time, and I went to the United States to do my study. And then while I was doing that study, that was when I became interested in working with people with mental illness issues. I did a 6-month clinical training placement in the United States, and so I did that at a big psychiatric hospital. Yeah. And subsequently came back to Melbourne and worked for 10 years at Larundel Psychiatric Hospital before I set up the course at the University of Melbourne.
Well, hi Denise, it's Bertie here. How are you? It's
hi, good, thanks.
Lovely to have you on board. What a fascinating lady. And I was reading earlier today that you were the first recognised music therapist in Australia at the Randall Psychiatric Hospital. How did that come about? Was it simply your pioneering efforts?
Well, at that point I was the first person who'd gone overseas and actually got qualifications. So I came back and through various people that I knew, I met one of the psychiatrists at Larundel, and mm-hmm. so they, it's a funny story actually, they they converted a position for a tailor to a position for a music therapist, and so that's the way I began.
That's brilliant. And what size of team do you have now working with you?
Well, I'm only involved in the education of music therapists at the university now, so I have a colleague and one or two people who help. We have a coordinator of clinical training, for example, because our students do, it's about one third of the course that's actually conducted in supervised clinical training, so we have a coordinator for that. And we now also offer our music therapy course via blended learning so that people interstate can actually take the course by studying some of the subjects online and coming to Melbourne for intensive weekend learning as well.
I take it you have to be musical to actually do this course.
You do. It's true.
Not just play CDs at a radio station.
Yes, well, I mean, what we do in music therapy is the whole purpose of music therapy is not actually to teach people to play a music instrument. It's actually to engage people in a music experience. So to do that, we're mostly working with people who are musically naive. And so you need to be a very good musician, actually, to be able to encourage someone to perhaps sing their favourite song. And if the song is too high, then you need to be able to transpose that down into a key that the person can sing. So you need to be a pretty good musician, actually, to be a music therapist. And you need a phenomenal knowledge of songs as well.
That's amazing. You're also involved in research, I read. Can you tell us a little bit about the current research projects you're doing?
Yes, well, I'm involved in two studies for people who have severe mental illness, so people who've been living with mental illness for many years, and these people are living out in the community these days, and so the main study I'm involved in is looking at whether group music therapy, particularly writing original songs, will actually help with quality of life for these people. And what we've pretty much finished the study now, and what we're finding is that people are obviously enjoying the experience of being together with other people, because socialisation is one of the big issues for people with severe mental illness, and also meeting within a group and actually writing a group song. And then you develop the song over a period of weeks, and then we're bringing them into the University of Melbourne to record the song in a recording studio. And then they have a copy of the group's song. And what happens is that the group kind of takes ownership of the song. They talk about our song. And, you know, the lyrics of the song of the songs are really quite fascinating. You know, some lyrics are, you know, concern for the world and what's going to happen to our world. Mm. Some lyrics are about relationships and how hard it is to maintain a relationship and to keep a relationship. Mm. Other songs are about how hard it is sometimes to live with a mental illness, that you've got to keep going, you've got to keep strong, you've got to, you know, deal with voices every day, and somehow you survive, you know.
It's fascinating. I mean, it's a form of expression, isn't it? Of a way of expressing yourself. And listening to, you know, we, no matter what walk of life we're from, and no matter what social group we're from, music in many forms brings people together, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Hmm. And particularly with writing songs with people, there is a structure to songs, so that, you know, the verse usually talks about what's of concern, and then there's the chorus that always has the kind of solution to the problem, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, this writing songs with people in particular is very powerful.
Yep.
And we also do improvisation, where people can choose instruments that we tune to what's called, we often tune to a pentatonic scale, which is just five notes of the scale.
Uh-huh.
And that enables people to improvise together without making any clashing sounds. So that's another thing that we use.
Fascinating. Denise, we're going to take a very short break now just to run some ads, and we'll be come back to you in just a minute.
Thanks. Okay.
Hello, my name is Renee Geyer, and I support Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Be there.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge this evening with Sue and Joy and Andrew, and we're delighted to be talking to Professor Denise Grocke from the Head of Music Therapy at the University of Melbourne, and we're hearing all about how music can be great therapy for many different types of people. Denise, what sort of people train to be music therapists these days?
Well, it's really important that students are really capable as musicians. So they're often people who have already done an undergraduate degree in music, and then the music therapy training course is a master's coursework degree, over 2 years. But we also encourage people who come from other areas who have really good music skills, and to bring them into the therapy area. So that might include people who might be music teachers, or they might be allied health professionals like occupational therapists or social workers or psychologists. Sometimes singer-songwriters, they've been out there in the music field for a long time and are looking for a way to basically help people with music. That's what music therapy is about.
What sort of roles, Denise, are there out there for music therapists?
There are a lot of roles, actually. We work with people across the lifespan, so work with infants, actually, right through to people who are in palliative care. So we work in hospitals, special schools, work in nursing homes and aged care. We work in community centres, anywhere really where people can identify that music could be helpful in some way, either as a socialising agent or in a hospital environment, helping people deal with pain. We use music also to help people escape a little bit, you know, in a nicely relaxed state. Listening to beautiful music can take you out of a hospital environment into a more familiar place that is more comforting, for example.
Mm. I think we often underrate such things as music therapy. I've worked in nursing, and when you have things like that, it makes it so much easier on the nursing staff and others.
Sure.
You know, to care for someone if they've got something like music in their life that helps with the pain and with the calming.
That's right. And the other thing too is that if you are providing music live, like just sort of singing quietly with a patient, that sound travels down the passageway as well. So other people, what we call overhearers, people who overhear this music therapy going on and think, oh, that sounds rather nice. I wonder what's happening there. And so it actually can help with the whole environment of a hospital or aged care setting or wherever.
It might not have some of us sing. Might have the opposite effect.
I'm hoping it has that sort of echo effect like in the bathroom. Then we can all get away with it. It sounds incredibly rewarding what you do. Is there a moment that you've witnessed in your career so far where you've just felt that phenomenal satisfaction? How has a patient reacted so positively to what you're doing with your music therapy?
Well, I think I probably think of the research study I was talking about before where, you know, when people have come together with these groups and written the songs, we've then done focus group interviews with them. Mm. And one that we did recently, last week actually, where one person said, you know, I've never been interested in music. I've never had any music lessons. And here I am. I've written a song and here it is on this CD.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
I think it's a way of really opening up an area. Many people think that they can't access music unless they are very good musicians. And what we try to do is to access the musician within, if you like, because we are all musical. To us, it doesn't really matter if people don't sing in tune. That's just simply because you don't use your voice long, you know, enough, I guess. So, I mean, we don't have any of those sort of judgments. So if people can sing out of tune if they like, it doesn't really matter to us. It's mostly that they're engaged with the music experience and enjoying it.
Yeah. We've seen, obviously, a lot of disasters happening with, you know, earthquakes and bushfires and cyclones, tsunamis. Have you done any work around treating people who've been traumatised with music therapy?
I haven't, but my colleague at the University of Melbourne, Katrina McFerrin, did a beautiful project with adolescents following the bushfires.
Wow.
And she went up there and she did a lovely project and took up all of the recording equipment and, you know, she's got some lovely photos of these kids all gathered around the microphone singing their hearts out, you know.
Oh.
And they wrote songs. They didn't write songs about the fires. They sort of, you know, wrote songs about how great it is to be together and, you know, good things happening for them. And then there'd just be the occasional lyric about we've lost a lot of people or something like that. But on the whole, you know, it's fascinating when people write songs. They generally write about something that is uplifting. We find that very interesting, actually.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Mm.
Do you personally find music spiritually nurturing?
I certainly do. So, yes, I choose music rather carefully for myself. You know, I'm careful about what I need from the music, really. So, I mean, we all know that the best music to listen to is the music that's right for you at the moment. And so our preferences for music are actually very subtle. So even during a day, what sort of piece of music is helpful is going to shift probably from one hour to the next. You know, you might need something that's a bit upbeat, and then you might need something that's got long phrases that you can just sort of breathe to. So, yes, I use it a lot for myself.
Mm, very true. I'm sure it's true for most of us, actually. I can certainly relate to that. Denise, it's been fascinating talking to you. Where can people find out more information on music therapy from whichever aspect they're interested about it?
Probably the web page, so www.music.unimelb.edu.au.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it's been absolutely super talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And that was Professor Denise Grokey on talking to us about healing therapy music.
Mm.
And now we're going to have another track. Bertie, this is your track, so you can introduce it.
It is the delightful Christina Aguilera, who I just find so much of her music relaxing, thought-provoking, and so this track is called Oh Mother.
Hey, this is Winter Gordon, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're listening to the Spirit Lounge. Today we've been talking all about music therapy and the healing power of music. If you'd like to join the conversation, text us in. It's 0427 Joy 949, or you can email us onair@joy.org.au or give us a call 1300 Joy 949.
Tell us what sort of music or tracks that you find healing and therapeutic.
Yeah, and when do you play them and why do you play them? Is it to get out of the mood you're in, or is it to make the mood you're in even better,
or worse?
I play a lot of music in the car, don't you? Because you drive a lot, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I have a little book thing of all my CDs, well, some of them, I keep changing depending on how I'm feeling. I listen to Joy until it sort of falls off air, and then I start playing CDs.
Until you're out of range.
Yes.
Well, this next one that we've got is something that I find quite meaningful. I kind of like listen to it when I'm feeling a little bit down, and it kind of gives me a little bit of a pick-me-up. This is Stephen Curtis Chapman.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. And we've actually lost Peter, the panelist. We're not sure where he is. Peter, if you're out there, let us know that you're okay.
Yeah, text us in 0427JOY949.
If you're Peter, at Moomba, awesome. If you've dumped us for Moomba, that's fine. We just want to know. We've been talking to Denise about, who's a professor at Melbourne Uni, about the music and therapy. And we've now got 11 free tips. He didn't think I was going to pay for them, did he? About how we can use music for transformation and healing. Mm. So we're going to have a quick look at those. And the first one is to select appropriate music. And what it suggests is that if you're angry, the most appropriate music may be some Jimmy Barnes screaming at you, or it may be something that's classical. Mm-hmm. You need to actually select what is going to work for you, and do you need to get the anger out and sort of jump around the sitting room or whatever it is you
put
do.
Put on the Sex Pistols and pogo around the room.
Pogo.
Am I showing my age?
Andrew's
looking
What's
at
What's a pogo?
You know, it's that funny dance they used to do, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it called something
I've heard
else?
Of pogo sticks, but not...
Yeah, that's what they used to do. They used to bounce around like pogo sticks. Andrew's looking at me like I'm from a different planet.
Because, well, you are sometimes.
I am.
Smile and nod. Smile and nod.
Yeah, so number one tip, select appropriate music. And you've got number two.
I have, and actually that moves on quite quickly. And this is called consider music sequencing. And I wouldn't have
Not
done
sequins, guys.
Not sequins. Put your sequins away. Mardi Gras over. Music sequencing. And you see, I wouldn't do this because if I was in a really angry mood, I would immediately reach for some music to calm me down. But what this is suggesting is that if you're in a really crazy, mad mood, put on really crazy, mad music, which honours and recognises the motion, the emotion that you're feeling. So get it out of your system by, in fact, just get even more angry and more crazy and more mad. And then what it's saying is gradually introduce perhaps something a little bit less crazy, and then something quite neutral, and then you introduce the kind of calm, chill out music. Whereas I guess if I was really angry, I think I would just go, okay, right, I've got to calm down, And I think I would go and look for something quite calming immediately.
Yeah, but that might not work for others, so that's quite a... So you don't immediately go for Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, no, that's depressing. Oh, I didn't say that. Andrew.
The next tip, which I find quite interesting, is try and use speakers instead of...
Do you know what they are?
I immediately thought about the percentage of the time that I spend listening to music through earphones or headphones, and most of the listening that I do is through headphones. So I'm probably going to make a bit of a conscious effort to try and listen through speakers. And the theory is that if you listen through speakers, then it allows the whole of your body to listen. So all of the cells in your body react to that music.
You're immersing your whole body in the music. You're like, yeah, that's interesting. Plus the fact we've just been chatting offline while the music's been playing, and of course I think Andrew's going to be completely deaf by the time he's about 50.
What was that?
Okay, number four, prepare yourself to listen. Take off your shoes. Oh, please. Andrew's already got them off, I think.
I've been following these
Stand
tips.
Relaxed, sit or lie down and breathe. It's always good to breathe first.
Don't forget to breathe, please. It's a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
Otherwise, it'd be music at your funeral.
Yes, it would be. Be the funeral march a bit prematurely.
30.
And then it says, tip five, listen all the way through. Actually, don't you get annoyed when some radio stations, and I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but they cut the track off before it's finished, don't
yes.
they? Isn't that annoying?
I don't think it's that honours the person who's actually
no,
made
it doesn't.
The track.
It doesn't. I find that very...
The artist.
But it says here it's preferable to listen to the music composition all the way through without interruption. This allows the optimum response to the transformation process. Because actually, if you think about it, the lyrics in general tell a story. And the music in general has choruses and what have you. So there is a pattern to it. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to most tracks. Mm. So if you kind of cut it off in its prime, it's not necessarily delivering everything it should. It's not as fulfilling as it could be.
No, I quite agree.
Well, that was point five.
I like the fact you guys have given me the point, all the points that you think are appropriate for me.
Yep.
One, don't use your earphones. Two, listen in the foreground, not the background. So lots of people, myself included, have a tendency to have music going in the background and do other activities at the same time. So, but to get the best benefit from the music, you really should be actively listening. So don't try and do anything else. Don't try and do your music therapy while you're at the gym on the treadmill. Probably won't work. So you'll get the best benefit if you're just listening.
But actually, I would slightly disagree with that because I've got on my iPod, I have got Bertie's gym music, which is really fast-paced, big beat stuff, which I jog in rhythm to when I'm on the stupid treadmill.
Yeah, but we're talking about just normal listening to music, and we're talking about listening to music for the purpose of receiving healing and transformation.
I know.
And I think it's two different things. I mean, it's okay to listen to music in the background and stuff, but if you actually are in a bad place...
To use it as a tool for transformation.
Need it, yeah, then that maybe these tips are something that can...
But then I will apply that because I might need to get rid of some aggression or get rid of some stress, and a lot of people will go to the gym to do that, and therefore I want high-energy music. I absolutely want that because I feel so good afterwards. It's like dancing, you know, I mean, we can't dance without music, can we? It's like dancing. It's like sometimes, you know, it's the feel-good factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sense of healing. Yeah, we have to heal the hangover afterwards.
Number seven, your response is what is important. And allow yourself just to respond to the music without judgment. So, the most important thing they're saying is to let the music embrace you. So you just respond as you need to respond.
And this follows on quite well. Listen actively, not passively. And I bet you a lot of us listen to music passively, don't we? Because it is in the background. You're probably doing other stuff. Allow the music to reach your inner feeling and respond freely to it. Everyone has a different manner of expression. And, for some people, music conjures up kind of visual images, thoughts, movements, emotions, physical vibrations, it says here. Sleep, you know, some music will send you off to sleep. I know when I was, because I'm a bit of an insomniac, and one of my therapies is certain music to play, which does send me to sleep. Yeah, it really works. Yeah.
The next tip is observe your mind, body, spirit connection. So there's been a lot of research done showing that there's really a pretty firm connection between your mind, body, spirit.
Yep.
And even though the music might be often used as a relaxation, it can also help you with emotional issues and indirectly help you with actual physical illnesses as well. So that kind of connection, it's all interwoven, I guess.
And when the music's finished, they tell you to enjoy the silence. Bask in the silence for many moments, and it will help you to actually integrate the feelings.
And the last one is, if you wish to record your progress in a journal, it can be helpful but not necessary. But some people like to document things like that, don't they?
Yeah,
but anyway, that, it's fascinating stuff, isn't it? We're talking tonight, if you've just joined us, we're talking about using music for transformation and healing. We've been talking about music as a therapy. You are on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Palm and the Puff. If you've just joined us and tuned in, welcome and hi to everyone driving back from Daylesford tonight from the big chill out. I hope you're enjoying the show. And Joy, I'm going to let you introduce the next tune because this is your favourite artist on the planet.
My next tune is a beautiful one that is very soothing for the soul, and it's from the beautiful Katie Lang, and Hallelujah.
And this is the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Palm and the Puff. We're here every Monday from 9 till 10, burning the midnight oil nearly. We're going to talk about this solstice another time because it's a huge subject and we're kind of running out of time tonight. However, I did find another little thing that I wanted it's quite a good way to introduce my next track. Did you know that this Saturday, the 19th of March, the moon is the closest in proximity to the Earth for 18 years? And it's called the supermoon. So we've all got to look out for it, because what's slightly worrying in the next sentence I read was that it can cause extreme weather such as tidal surges, storms, earthquakes and volcanoes.
And it hasn't already.
Well, I know. I think that probably the supermoon has been and gone, hasn't it?
I think we should just all hide.
Anyway, guys, so look out for you'll see the moon the closest it's been for 18 years to the Earth on Saturday, I'm assuming Saturday night in where we are. And anyway, my next track is one of my favourites and a fellow countrywoman from Aberdeen in Scotland. And this is Annie Lennox, Eurythmics, and I Saved the World Today. And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Palm and the Puff. And that was one of my favourites, the lovely, delightful Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics.
It's only because she's Scottish.
Oh, she's a wee Scot and she saved the world today. But that is a particularly beautiful track. I really like
that one.
It is. And we all need to save the world, don't we?
Well, we do at the moment, I think.
It is a place of mass destruction at the moment, isn't it?
I know. And you sit there and watch the stuff on TV and then, you know, it can't help but have an effect on you. So how do you use music then to actually give you some healing? And
it's what Denise was saying earlier, wasn't it, about the going up to the bushfire traumatized people and bringing them together, and you either express your emotions through lyrics and music and it brings people together in a positive way. You might take your mind off it for a little while, and it's a great sort of unites people, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we had that series called The Choir of Hard Knocks. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
Where a musical director, well-known musical director in Australia, got together a group of people that were homeless.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them had mental health problems, and made them into a choir.
Wow.
And just amazing. They ended up singing at the Sydney Opera House, didn't they?
Yeah, it wasn't just any choir. They were amazing.
Yeah. Like,
they did some amazing work, and I think the real achievement of that choir wasn't the work that they put out, it was the development, like the journey that each of the participants had along the way, and how they had grown through that experience.
Because they documented it and they showed it on TV. But you couldn't help but hear these people sing some songs, and it was just so moving.
Mm.
Like they're just... Because you've followed their journey, you'd see where they
sung from the
come
heart.
From, and,
yeah.
And it's just, and I believe he also did one recently in a jail.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because some prisons have choirs, don't they? And they get together and perform, and you know, it's
this guy fantastic. Did the same thing, and he's documented that. So
that's great. But we've been talking tonight about music as a therapy, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have my kind of gym list of music, which is the high energy, and then I've got my kind of mellow music for when I just want to relax and chill, especially play that in the car when you're stuck in traffic. And I've got my driving music when I'm driving a long way.
Does that make you speed?
Probably, yeah. Smile, there's a camera.
Your Honour, the ticket was because I was playing the wrong music.
Do you play music to reflect your mood or to change your mood?
probably to reflect it in some ways.
I
think to change it. Yeah. Probably both. I think I certainly, play a lot of music when I'm driving, and I play a lot of Christian music, which I find is very healing, but also a lot of other music that just depends.
What about you, Andrew?
Because I don't drive a car, I ride a motorbike. I don't really listen to anything while I'm driving. It's kind of quiet time for me. Well, as quiet as can possibly be. Yeah. but while I'm at work, quite often I will listen, to try and tune out the other people in my office, I'll listen to music. And usually it's kind of something that's pretty upbeat. So I guess it kind of keeps me going, makes me a bit happier, I guess. Sometimes, I guess, with the whole, if you want to choose music to change your mood, then I will really only do that, if I'm feeling down. I would never play music when I'm feeling, really energetic and, on top of my game. I would never play music to, mellow myself out.
Bring you down,
So, I don't know, interesting.
Yeah, I think it's something that we all do and perhaps don't really think about. But anyway.
We've got to say goodbye, and don't forget to tune in next week. We're sending Bertie to West Australia.
Yay!
And get her away for a couple of weeks.
I'm going to sink my soul into vats of wine in the Margaret River.
And she will sing while she's doing it.
I will sing, yes.
Please come back safely.
And we'll catch up with you at 9 o'clock next Monday night.
Joy 94.9, the soundtrack for our community. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.